Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, not but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So this is a warning. This is an announcement from the Lord, even before the law. And I am announcing that as per the instruction from the Lord, till the year ends, 2024, because we will see a famine of the word. We will see a famine of the word. People might have the Bible, but people will not be able to understand what God is saying. There will be a real famine of the word. We will see that the systems of the world will be failing the hearts of people. The people who dependent on the government, on the job, on the economy, on the investment, on influences, people, politicians, whatsoever. We will see people's heart being failed by the world. And then they will start running to the word of God. But there will be no word. There will be a famine of the word, because God is saying, when I was talking to you, you did not listen but ran elsewhere. And I told you again and again. But now there will be a famine. So this is the time that we need to be careful and give our ear to the hearing of the word of the Lord. We have to fill our storehouse. We have to fill our spirit man with the revelations of God's word. Hallelujah. Every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I am teaching here, and you are hearing the word and meditating on it. And most of you are seriously receiving it, writing it down. And I'm telling you, it is the best investment you are doing, by receiving the word, by storing up the word. I'm telling you, hallelujah. Because in the time to come, this is going to save you and save others who hear you. Hallelujah. So that is the fourth week. This is the fourth week I am announcing and blowing the trumpet that there will be a famine of the word. So we must be ready for that. And how we should be ready currently, when we have to fill ourselves with the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, tonight I want to start off with a teaching. But embedded in the teaching at the end, I want to release a prophetic word for the people of God. What a prophetic word of exhortation and of comfort that God wants to speak to the people of God in the middle or at the end of the teaching. All right. So let me start off. I will give the title. Let us guess the title of the message. Now, let us think about why we are chosen, why God chose us, why we are chosen, and why we are being a part of the body. Why some people ask why we are doing this church and stuff, why we are doing ministry, what is the purpose of doing ministry, and the purpose of being chosen by God, of being in a corporate gathering, in a ministry, the purpose of ministering and doing, serving the Lord. What is the purpose behind it? What is the purpose behind it of we being chosen by God, we being a part in the body of Christ, we being a part or being ministered by the fivefold ministry? What is the purpose of all these things? Can anyone say what is the purpose of all these things? Why we are doing this meetings, why we are teaching, why we are praying for each other? What is the purpose of all these things? Okay, no problem. The purpose of God choosing us, making us a part of his body, the church, we serving the Lord through the fivefold ministry, is to perfect and confirm every believer to the full stature of Christ. Perfect in Christ, living a life like him. That is the purpose. The primary purpose of we coming here, the primary purpose of we serving the Lord, the primary purpose of we being a part, you know, being chosen by God, is for us to become more like Christ. And the end result should be that we live a life to the full stature and the measure of Christ. Now, this purpose is been lost. Because, however, today we have lost the meaning and purpose of our being chosen and called by thinking that Christianity, church, ministry is a means of gain, having a better life, pleasing ourselves, being happy, expecting miracles, living in the supernatural, etc., etc., etc. Hallelujah. Not rejecting the former by accepting the latter. Yes. Being in the supernatural, expecting, you know, expecting miracles, not denying the fact that, yes, you should expect a miracle. But that is not the purpose of coming to the church. I want a breakthrough. I want something good to happen in my life. I want to live a better life. You know, I want my children to get admission in the medical colleges, in the engineering colleges. I want a visa to US. I want a visa to this place. I want to get a better job. I want to, that has become the purpose of going to the church. We have lost the purpose. The purpose of we going to the church, the purpose of we being called by God, is to become like Christ. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So that is the title of my message.
Amen.
Walking as Jesus walked. Walking as Jesus walked, and the maturity of a believer. The walking as Jesus walked and maturity of a believer. Don't forget, many people, when they are pissed off, you know, when they expect things to happen in a certain way, when they come to the church, they expect to get certain things when they come to a meeting, become a part of a ministry. It does not happen. They start to ask questions. Brother, what is all this church? What is all this coming and listening to the word? What is all this praying and all? What is all this giving and all? What is the use of all these things? When they are not met with their expectation, they start to question. I want to tell you, brother, sister, you coming to the church, you listening to the teaching, is to transform and to make you more like Christ. And the end result should be that you grow up to the full stature of Christ, perfect in Christ, walking like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The first
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we the title of what I am starting off is walking as Jesus walked. Let's go to some of the scriptures. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 3 to 6. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 3 to 6. Now by this we know that now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. But he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Hallelujah. So the Bible is saying that if we say we abide in him, if we say that we love him, we know him, we ought to obey the commandments. And by obeying the commandments, and when we say we abide in him, we ought to walk as he walked. We ought to walk as Jesus walked. That is where God is calling us to. The primary goal of God is not to make us, you know, give us the biggest car, make us the richest man, make us the most famous preacher or whatsoever. The primary goal of God is to make us look like his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, is to make us, make our lives. That is the purpose. That is the heart of God. That is what God wants to, is training you and me on. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is the primary purpose of God. Now, this scripture John is speaking about obeying the commandments of God. We will step into the revelation slowly, slowly. Hallelujah. Obeying the commandments of God. Obeying, if we say that we know him, we should to obey the commandments. If we say we know him and we don't obey his commandments, we are a liar. That's simple. We are a liar and the truth is not in us. We have to obey his command. We have to obey his voice. And that's how we walk with him, by obeying his voice, by walking, by obeying his leading, where he is taking us. Another next scripture, Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25 to 27. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25 to 27. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. That is the reason, that is another verse that shows you the purpose of the body of Christ. What does the scripture say? Look at it. It says Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Why did Christ give himself for us? That is the church, the body. That he might sanctify and cleanse us by the washing of water by the word. So every day you open your Bible in your daily devotion and you say, and you read the Bible, and after reading the Bible you say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, teach me. What the Holy Spirit does is he gives you revelations, first of all, not to teach others, but he gives you revelations and understanding of the word that will bring a cleansing in your life. And by the cleansing of water, which is by the word, that is what Jesus does to the church. Why he does that? That he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That is what the will of God for you and me is. He wants us to be holy and without blemish. He wants us to be without a spot and wrinkle. In other words, the church, the body of Christ, individually as believer in the church, every believer needs to rise to maturity. Every believer needs to rise to a life that looks like Christ, that resembles Christ. Oh, we might not be perfect. Yes, you would not be perfect until you see him. But you are striving. There can be areas where you fall. But what does the Bible say? A righteous man falls 7 times, yet he rises again. You correct those areas. And all your life, if all your life, every day you are cleansing yourself. Every day you are cleansing yourself. Every day you are recognizing the areas which are not Christ-like, and you are making it Christ-like. We have forgotten. There are you go on the I go on the YouTube or whatever. There are no sermons nowadays. The sermons about being Christ-like, walking as Jesus walked, you know, all those stuff have been gone from everywhere. Those stuff are not preached. What we are hearing today is how to have your breakthrough, how to do a 7 days fast and get your husband, how to do a 21 day fast and get married, how to do this, where to do that. But the brother, sister, we are forgetting the primary purpose is to, Jesus wants to present himself a glorious church, which is without spot and blemish, without any wrinkle, holy. Hallelujah. That is what the purpose of we being a body, being a part of the body of Christ is. Our purpose to be a part of in the body of Christ is that we should be without spot, without wrinkle, holy. That means the church has to rise to maturity. The church has to rise to Christ likeness. Hallelujah. Okay. Next scripture, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 to 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 to 14. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does the Bible says? Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Stop that. Now there is a lot of controversy saying, the apostles' ministry were with only the 12 apostles. There is no longer the apostolic ministry. There is no longer the prophetic ministry. The Bible never says, Jesus said, the apostolic ministry will only be limited to the 12 apostles. But the apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians himself is saying, Jesus himself gave some to be apostles. He is not saying that he only chose the 12 apostles who will be the only apostles. After that, the apostolic ministry will end. No, that is the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry was not only for the early church. Fivefold ministry is for the building of the body of Christ forever till the time the church exists on the earth. The fivefold ministry is given to the church. We got to understand that. Hallelujah. Don't believe in doctrines where they say, now though the apostolic ministry is lost, the prophetic ministry is lost. What is an apostolic ministry? What is the prophetic ministry? Prophetic ministry is it comes from the roots of the intercession and spiritual warfare ministry. Apostolic ministry comes from the roots of explaining mysteries of Christ, mysteries of the Word of God. And I don't have time to go into all those things. But this is the fivefold ministry given to the church, to the body of Christ, to do what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse number 13, very important. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. That is the reason apostles minister to you. That is the reason pastors minister to you. That is the reason the fivefold ministry is given to the church. Why? Does the Bible says for you to have a better life, for you to get a better job, for you to get a better car or whatever? No, for you and me to grow to a perfect man, to the full measure, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Hallelujah. Amen. Men and women of strong minds, men of and women who have strong will, strong conviction, who hold on to the conviction of the Word of God, who hold on to the understanding of the Word of God, who don't compromise, who don't waver, who are not like, this is also good, this evil is also good, this is also okay, who are not tossed away by the doctrines of men, by the doctrines of demon, who are not tossed away by the winds and the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That is the reason why the fivefold, that is the reason you are coming here. You are coming here so that you might grow to the full stature of in the fullness of Christ. That is why you are coming here, to be more like Jesus, to be more aligned to him, to live a life that he wants you to live. Hallelujah. To fulfill the calling that he has called you for. That is why you are coming in the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. And every person and this ministry, the fivefold ministry, has been given to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to reach out the gospel, not holding crusade, but on personal level, wherever you are, for reaching out the gospel for the work of ministry, that you might become a teacher. Okay, let me show you a scripture. Hebrew chapter number, I think, let me search that. Hebrew chapter number 5. Hebrew chapter number 5. Turn with me to Hebrew chapter number 5. verse number 12, Hebrew chapter number 5, verse number 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Apostle Paul is saying, by this time you should have been teachers teaching others. That is what the fivefold ministry is created for. Listen to me, let me make a statement. The fivefold ministry is not to establish a mega church. A mega church concept is not from God. Let me tell you that. Mega church, what did I say? Mega church concept. I'm talking about a church from 25 years. The pastor is only the one, and the people are the same, and the people are listening to the same pastor. You ought to be teachers by now. You should have gone out and started ministry by now. You should have gone out taking down nations by now. But you are sitting in the same place. You see, the apostles never had an agenda to create a mega church, an empire that will go till the end of the life of the pastor, of the apostle. And the same people will come on. If for 5 years the apostle Paul taught 20 people, and those 20 people did nothing but still were at the same place, he started to rebuke those people and said, you ought to be teachers by now. What are you doing? You still need milk. So his agenda was not to keep people and hold people. You should be under my anointing. No. His agenda was to make them grow to the full stature of Christ, that they may be equipped for the work of ministry, that they may start to become teachers. Hallelujah. I always pray for this ministry that God will raise up men, you know, whom God will point out. Now this person is ready to teach. I always pray for that. I always pray for that. I always encourage men in the ministry whom I speak to. You should get serious with the call of God. You know, enough of getting busy with this and that and meditate. Spend time with God. You know, hallelujah. You ought to be teachers by now, but you still need milk. You ought to be having solid food and teach others, but you still need milk. Apostle Paul is saying. Verse number 13. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Everyone who only partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That means mature in Christ, Christ-like, who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. To be Christ-like does not start with power. To be Christ-like starts with character. Okay, we will start off with that. So do we see the scriptures now? All right. Now, what is to be walking as Jesus walked? First of all, before going into the steps to walk as Jesus walked, let me give you another scripture, Romans chapter number 8. So all the scriptures I am giving you shows you the primary purpose of you being called, you being placed in a corporate gathering, you being a part of the church. This is the primary purpose is to you to become like Christ, is for you and me to walk as Jesus walked on the earth. That is what God wants from every individual believer in the church. All right, that is the scriptures I gave you. Let me take you to another scripture and then we will go ahead. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 28, 29 and 30. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 28, 29, and 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. What is the purpose? It's written in 29 and 30. The purpose is, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is the purpose, for you to become like Christ. Now let us understand that word. Okay, let me also read verse number 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Don't crave for the glorification of the world, because if you become every day more and more like Christ, you are in the purpose that God has for you. And if you are in the purpose, the end result that God will glorify you one day. And the glorification that God will bring upon you will be before everyone. Do you know the Bible talks, Apostle Paul talks about he being poured out as a drink offering, and he has fought a good fight of faith, and now he awaits the crown of righteousness. I don't have time to show you from the scripture, but do you know that after you finish the race faithfully, and when you will receive the crown of righteousness, you will not receive the crown of righteousness before this 20 to 30 members of Glorify Jesus ministry. You will receive the crown of righteousness and that glorification from the Lord before the whole world.
Hallelujah.
God is going to appreciate. God is going to glorify you before what? The whole world, before the saints of heaven, before the angels, before the world. That is how you will be awarded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't crave for being awarded in this world, of becoming something in this world, because everything in this world and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, everything will pass away. But he who does the will of God shall abide forever. The award that you will receive, the glorification that you will receive of the people who are washed, that means justified, will be before the whole world. Any which ways. Let me come again. It says all the things work together for good to those, not for everyone. All things will work together for good, not for everyone, but for which people? To those who love God. What is loving God? Obeying his commandments. Okay. To those who love God, and to those who are the called according to his purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose that you are walking in, that is every day you are becoming more like Jesus. Walking as Jesus walked. So if you are walking, if you are cleansing yourself, if you are repenting, if you are mindful to observe your life and align your life and uproot everything in your life every day that is not from God, and you are walking in that purpose, leave ministry aside, leave preaching aside, evangelism aside. Let us concentrate of living a life as Christ lived daily. Because Jesus, for a major part of his life, he was not ministering. Only 3 years of his life he ministered. What he was doing the rest of his life, he was just doing the Father's will. Hallelujah. So let's leave ministry, evangelism, healing ministry, doing for God, doing this for God. Leave all those things aside. But daily, are you denying your will and telling God, I want to worship you. God, my day was bad. God, I lost this, but I just want to worship you. I still want to grow more closer to you. Lord, I love you more than these things I lost. I love you more than this. You are building a relationship. You are building intimacy. And you are walking in that purpose. You know what? When you will see back even every evil thing that the devil does to you, God will turn it out for your good. That is the benefit of walking in this purpose that I am talking about. Everything will work out for the good of those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. What purpose? Not the purpose of being a prophet, apostle, whatever. The purpose of becoming more like Christ. That is what the Bible is talking about. Hallelujah. So this was the introduction of the message. And let us go to the first step of walking as Jesus walked. And even as I take the first step of walking as Jesus walked, there is a prophetic word in there for the people of God. The first step of walking as Jesus walked, everything that I will tell and start off with will be related to character and to the state of heart. Because walking as Jesus walked not starts with power, it starts with your heart, it starts with character. Are we together? Hallelujah. So, the first step to walking as Jesus walked is forgiving people easily and not carrying hurts. What is that? Forgiving people easily and not carrying hurts. Now, listen to me. One of the most controversial subjects in the church is forgiveness. One of the most controversial topic in the church is forgiveness. Many things related to forgiveness. Oh, I can forgive people. I can't forget what they did. And then some pastors say, oh, you know what? Yes, yes, you cannot forget, but just forgive them. But I still remember the hurts. I still carry. But I am talking about a person who walks with Christ. He forgives people easily. He forgive. You have to. If you have not come to a point where you can forgive someone very easily, it's like nothing for you. I forgive you. I forget about it. Leave it. You know what? Even if the person tried to come with a knife and kill you and still you, I easily forgive him. If you have not come to a point where you can easily forgive, you have a long way to go with Christ. You have not matched up to that level of Christ. You have to come to a level where forgiveness is very easy for you. But unfortunately, most of the believers I see, they cannot forgive. On top of that, because of small things, they take offenses. Oh my God, the number of people I deal in ministry, people come with complaints. Oh, that person, they did not do like this. That person did not respond to my message. This. They get offended. They carry hurts. Offense is so easy for people nowadays. Very easy. Oh, you did not take my name. You did not do this. I am hurted. I am this. I am that. Oh, you did not call me. You did not did this to me. You did not do that to me. I am hurted by you. I am disappointed. You are a baby. You are a baby. You have a long way to go with Christ. You are a baby. And the reason why you are doing that even after being 30 years as a Christian, because you never opened yourself to God. You never opened your heart to God for God to uproot evil things from you. That's why even after 30 years, you are like a baby getting offended at small things. Are we understanding? Forgiving people easily and not carrying the hurts. Okay, I am just not going to tell you that you need to forgive people easily, but the revelation I will give you, when you receive that revelation, I'm telling you, you will start to forgive people easily. Yes, just the revelation. Just the revelation. If you understand what I'm going to say about, because I'm going to expose the root why people are not able to forgive. The reason why people are not able to forgive is because they are not walking as Jesus walked. They are not walking with God. They don't understand God. That is the reason you cannot forgive other people. That is the reason you get offended. You carry hurts. You carry this and that in your mind. Okay? Are we together? All right. Listen to me. For me to give you the revelation, let us go to a scripture. Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45. Let's start verse number 3. Genesis chapter number 45. Now listen to this very carefully. Genesis chapter number 45. Verse number 3. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Okay, stop there. This is the story of Joseph. We all know that what happened with Joseph, okay? Now, after many years, the brothers who persecuted him, tormented him physically, threw him in the pit, sold him as a slave. Now they have, after many years, they are here listening to a man whom they don't know, and the man is telling them, I am that Joseph whom you threw in the pit, whom you wanted to kill, whom you tormented physically. Okay, so they were amazed. They could not answer, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now Joseph could be angry. Joseph could be unforgiving. Why did you do that with me? Why did you sold me in Egypt? Well, you know, why did you hated me? You always wanted evil for me. I can never forget that. Joseph's language could be like that. But that is not the language of Joseph, because he has forgiven them. That's why Joseph is talking like that. Listen to me. So he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse 5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me. Underline God sent me again. In verse 5, there is God sent me. In verse 7, again, there is God sent me. Verse number 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Underline again, God. Not you who sent me, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh. You see that authority? A father to Pharaoh. That is what the authority Joseph had. He was like a father to Pharaoh. He was not only an advisor, but at the level of a father. And Lord to all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So there are three times that Joseph is saying, my brothers, don't worry, don't harm yourself, don't think that you did something wrong. God allowed everything to happen in my life. Wow. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. The picture and the story of Joseph is a prophetic story of Jesus Christ. You know that brothers throwing Joseph into the pit, signifying the own people, the brethren of Jesus, is the one who are going to put him on the cross. Okay? Then Joseph going there from Potiphar's house after he was sold to the prison, signifying Jesus will go to the underworld to rescue the keys of Hades and death. I don't have time to go into those technicals, but that is what it signifies. Then Joseph from there, from the prison, rising to the right hand of Pharaoh, signifying Jesus rising to being exalted as the Son of God, being exalted as the Savior of the world, sitting at the right hand of God after that. All right. And then the brothers of Joseph coming back to Joseph, and Joseph saving them, signifying that in the end times, a remnant of the Jewish people will come back to the Messiah, will believe in the Messiah, and Jesus Christ will save them. So that is the prophetic story of Joseph. But why I'm telling you, Joseph is telling the brothers, you did not send me in Egypt, though you persecuted me, but you did not do anything. It was God who was in control of my life. Hallelujah. The one who completely submits to God does not hold people responsible for anything that happens in their life, because they understand that man can do me nothing. The Lord has complete authority over my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Now, why I'm telling you about Jesus and Joseph? Because remember when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Why did he say that? Because he knew it was not them who put him on the cross. It is his own father that sent him on the cross. Hallelujah. When you realize that whatever happens in your life, people are not doing it, God is the one who is pushing you into places where you don't want to go. It is the plan of God. It is not your plan. And the plan of God is not pleasing to you. But you know God is the one doing it. The person persecuted you, or a church persecuted you, threw you out of the church. You know, the church did not do it. There is a plan of God upon my life. That's why this happened in my life. And when you realize it was not them, it is God. It was not them, it is God who allowed things to happen in my life. You will be able to easily forgive people. Hallelujah. Easily forgive them. Easily forgive them. Easily forgive them. Hallelujah. The same picture of Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know. Because he knew it is not them. I am a surrendered vessel to God. God is doing all these things in my life. And God is only using. And everything at the end, you will see the evil which was done to you by people. Even those things, God at the end turns it out for your good. That is the word that the Lord wants to speak to his people, the prophetic word I was talking at the beginning, that every evil will be turned out for your good by God if you can walk with him. If you can walk with him. Hallelujah. All right, are we understanding? So the first thing I want to tell you here is Joseph. So a person walking as Jesus walked, forgiving people easily. The first thing that you need to understand how you will be able to forgive people easily is when you are silent for a long season and continue to trust, praise, and obey God without any complaints or regrets, even when nothing is working right in your life. You are silent for a long season in your life and continue to trust, praise, and obey God without any complaints or regrets, even when nothing is working right in your life. We are living in a time of Christianity where Christians have become impatient. Very impatient. Very impatient. Hallelujah. Oh, I came to your ministry. It's been 2 weeks and nothing has still happened. Are you coming to my ministry just because you want something to happen? No, that is not. Yeah, you can leave as well. No problem. That is not the purpose of my ministry is. Very impatient with God. I tried off fasting. I tried out this. I read books. I read this book. I listened to Pastor Paul Yonggi Cho, the biggest pastor. I listened to that pastor. I listened to Miles Monroe. I read his books. I read that book. I read this book. Nothing is happening, brother. You forgot the purpose. You don't understand the purpose. The purpose is that you have to trust and obey God even when things are not. And things will not work out for you as you expect for a long season. It was a long season. Joseph had to stay silent. And in silence, he had to trust and obey God for a long season. For a long season. His brothers threw him into the pit. And then he was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused of rape. He was put into prison. He helped people, but people did not help him back. All those things, Joseph stayed silent and continued to obey the Lord. And continued to, they did not question God. Oh God, you know what? What is happening? This vision, that vision, everything is crap. He did not move away. He stayed silent. To build up that stature where you can easily forgive people, you have to go through something. And you have to go through fire silently, knowing that the fire is refining you. You cannot back away. The reason why people cannot forgive is because they have not passed trials in their lives that were put on them by God. And that's why when they come to a point at a life, they will hold people responsible. I am like this because my father treated me like this. I am like this because my mother treated me like this. Because he treated me like this. Because she did that to me. They become so bitter. They start to hold people responsible because they did not walk with God by trusting him in silence and obeying him when things did not work out. That's the reason they cannot forgive people. Are you understand the root of unforgiveness? Hallelujah. Are we together, people of God? Hallelujah. You start to hold people responsible. You know, people tell me, oh, no, he is like that because he came from such a background. If you listen to my background, if you listen to how what my background was, my family, how my father treated the family and all those stuff, you will be dismayed. I should have been a gangster as per that. But I chose Jesus for myself. You cannot hold your mother, your father, or anyone responsible for who you are. You need to change yourself. You need to change yourself. You need to, hallelujah. Maybe your father was a drug addict. Maybe he abused your mother and all those stuff. We will come to that. How everything, even most evil thing, God can work out for your good if you walk this pathway, walking as Jesus walked. For Joseph to come to that, hallelujah, for Joseph to come to that level where he could easily forgive people. Why he was able to easily forgive the brothers? Because he learned to trust God when nothing was happening. And not for 1 month, not for 2 months, for many years nothing was happening in his life. But he learned to trust and obey God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am telling you, the times have changed. Everything is needed fast. So the pastor is under pressure. Many pastors wanted to do the right ministry, but because people want things fast, they changed their technique. They changed their pattern of ministry. I am telling you, even if the world changes, but I will not change my pattern of ministry. I will do ministry in the pattern of Jesus Christ. I will not come under the pressure of people. I want to do ministry as exactly as Jesus did. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. Most of the pastors are very good people. Very good people, very nice people. It's not that they are evil because of which they have watered down the messages. It's because the pressure of the congregation has taken over them. The congregation needs things fast. I know pastors whom the congregation says, oh, if we don't get the breakthrough in your church, we go to other church. And in doing so, the pastor came under pressure and took different ways to do another type of ministry, where they can only focus on of giving breakthroughs, healings. I'm telling you, you start a ministry and show 3-4 things on your video that people are getting healed instantly by tomorrow. Crowds will gather to your church because people need those things. But what the Bible teaches us is to trust and obey God even when nothing is happening. Hallelujah. Is to pass the trials that God walked as Jesus walked. Walked as Jesus walked. Hallelujah. That is the first step that Joseph took. That he was silent for a long season in his life. He continued to trust and praise and obey God without any complaints or regrets, even when nothing was working right. I made a covenant with the Lord in my young age. The covenant was, Lord, whatever you do in my life, I will never ask you why. And I have still didn't ask God, why did you do it? Never. I'm telling you, God is my witness. Lord, even I don't understand what is happening, but I trust you. Help me, Lord. Be merciful to me. Help me. Take me through this. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? Yes. Yes. The second thing is, you can easily forgive people, and maturity comes when you pass the trials with the realization that God worked out everything for your good. Even the evil people did to you, he turned it for your good. He turned it for your good. Hallelujah. When you walk like that with God, and then when you look back, you will realize that it was not the people, it was not them, it was God who tried me out. It was God's will for me to go through such things. And people had to betray me. People had to curse me. People had to do all those stuff to me. People had to throw me. People had to reject me. If they did not do these things, if the devil did not play his part in my life, if God did not allow the devil to play his part in my life, I would not have reached here. That is the understanding you get. So the devil is a fool, and he is a proven fool, because unknowingly the devil also plays a part in God's purpose for your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. The devil, fool, that is a proven fool. Now, when the devil was coming to God and he was like, I got the chance to persecute Job. I got the chance to kill Job's children, destroy his property, this and that. Little did he know that he's playing a part in Job's promotion. That once he destroys it, afterwards, God is going to double it. And then when a person, when a believer, mature believer looks back, he is happy of what has happened. But when the devil, when the wicked looks back of what he has done, he regrets, oh no, what have I done? Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. So that is where maturity rises. That is where you can easily forgive people. Oh no, no problem. I did this. No problem. I know God allowed you to do all those stuff. So I forgive you. Hallelujah. We understand that? Verse number 8. Genesis 45, verse number 8. Where we were? Genesis 45. Verse number 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse number 8. In a surrendered life, walking in his ways, you know that people can do nothing to you. It is God who is in complete authority of your life. He's saying in that verse that not you, brothers, it was God who did allow those things to happen in my life. It was God who sent me. It was God who allowed you to do those stuff. It was God. So that is how when you walk with Jesus, you can say, you know that man can do nothing to me. My brothers can do nothing to me. My husband can do nothing to me. For me, it is God who is in complete authority, who is in complete authority of my life. You know that. Hallelujah. Whatever happens, it is God. It is my Father who is doing it. That is the understanding you get. All right. Matthews, so when you realize, when you walk with God and when you pass trials, then you will be able to fulfill the first step to walk as Jesus walked, that you will be able to easily what? Forgive people and let go of the hurts. Do we understand that now? Hallelujah. If some people did not treated me bad, I would not have come to the place. They are the one who pushed me to the place here. So God uses the devil to push you to the place where God wants to take you. He uses the devil. He uses spirits. He uses those evil people. He uses those wickedness of men to push you to the place where he wants you to be. And then when you come to that place, it will be easy for you to forgive everyone, because you will say, God is the one who did it. So you don't worry. You don't blame yourself. That is what Joseph could easily forgive. That is where Joseph could easily forgive people. Are we understand that? So the reason, now that is where I want to teach you. The reason why people, I cannot forgive. I have forgiven him, but I cannot forget. The reason you are doing that, brother, because you have not walked with God properly. If you walked with God, you would have easily. That's why people cannot forgive. Now can you easily forgive people if you have that revelation? Yes. Yes. You will not blame anyone. You will not hold anyone responsible for what you are in life. Many Christians do that. I am like this because I was abused by my father, because sexual abuse, molestation, all those stuff. But we will come to that. Even all those stuff, even all those things, evil things, God works out for the good. We will come to that. We will come to that from the scripture. God works out everything for the good of those who love him and who are walking in his purpose, called in his purpose. What is the purpose? To walk as Jesus walked. Hallelujah. And it will give you understanding to easily forgive people. Okay, Matthew's chapter number 18. Let's go to the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew's chapter number 18. Verse number 25. Verse number 25. Is that the verse? Yeah. Let's start from verse number 23. Verse number 23. Matthew 18:1-8. Verse number 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's how serious it is. The last word, you see the parable? The servant was forgiven by the master, but when another person had to pay the debt, he did not forgive that person. The treatment that you receive from the Lord, you did not. You will treat others the way you should treat them when you understand and honor how God treats you, how God forgives you. It's so serious. We cannot water down the topic of forgiveness. Jesus himself says that my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From his heart means completely. It's not that some pastors can come and tell you, oh yeah, you can forgive, but you cannot forget. So yeah, those things will be there in your life. No. They are there to water it down so that the congregation will not leave their church if they preach the full truth. No, you have to forgive people from your heart. As the Father, our Father, our God is a forgiving God. He forgives immediately. Do you know that? He has mercy so you should have mercy on people very fast. It should not be, no, I will pay him back. But you should show mercy because our God is merciful. Oh, he tormented me for 10 days and after that he came to ask me for forgiveness. So I will also torment him for 10 days. After that, I will think about whether I will forgive him or let him go or not. No. Yeah, he or she might have done that to you, but you quickly forgive them. Leave it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first step to walk as Jesus walked is to forgive people easily. All right. Because all things God will work out for your good. You know that. You come to that understanding that God is the one who is doing everything. All right. So I want to tell people here, the next thing is the evil that happened in Joseph's life and that how every evil that happened in his life, God turned it out for his good. And then I want to come on the evil that happened in Job's life, because I want to show you, some of the people might think, some of the Christians think, the evil that happened with me, what evil? Evil sister, I was sexually abused for 10 years. Nothing, I cannot take myself over it. They cannot come out of that trauma. I want to show you things that happened with Joseph. And you see, if I am for sure the things that happened with Joseph has happened with people. And if it has happened with Joseph and that evil that happened with Joseph could overcome it, and it turned it for it turned out for his good. God can turn every evil in your past that happened for your good if you can walk with him, if you can walk as Jesus walked. Hallelujah. So the evil that happened in the life of Joseph, Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 4. So let's stay with me on Genesis now. Genesis 37 and 39 and 40. So let's start with Genesis 37. Let me give you a list of evil that happened with Joseph, and everything Joseph said worked out for my good. God is the one who allowed it to happen. Hallelujah. Genesis 37, verse number 4. Genesis 37, verse number 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. The first list of evil from this scripture we understand is hatred from his own brothers, loneliness and rejection in his own family. Hatred from his own brothers, loneliness and rejection in his own family. Okay? Okay, may God speak to you if these things have happened with you. Don't dwell on it. God can, if you can walk with him, God will turn out everything for your good. Hallelujah. The second point, verse number 10 and 11. Genesis 37, verse number 10 and 11. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamt? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So the second is misunderstood and not supported by his own father. You might have a person in your life who loves you the most, but when you go to him or go to her and say, "This is what God has called me to become," that person would reject you and not support you, misunderstand you. The same person who loved you. You see that happened with Joseph. He went to his father and told the vision. The father misunderstood him, rejected what he was seeing, did not support him, did not encourage him. Okay? So when God gives you a vision, there might not be anyone who will support it, encourage you, but go on alone with God. Next thing, verse number 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Conspiracy to kill Joseph. Another thing that happened with Joseph, another evil that happened with Joseph. Next one, verse number 23 and 24. We are on Genesis 37. Verse number 23 and 24. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So Joseph was a victim of physical and mental abuse. The brothers physically and mentally tormented him, tortured him and abused him. They laid hands on him. They made him naked by tearing his clothes. Then they put him in a pit and they fed him with no water or food. What is that? Physical and mental abuse. There are people listening who went through physical and mental abuse, maybe through their own family members. I want to tell you, God will turn every evil for your good in Jesus' name. If you walk with him. Hallelujah. Verse number 25 and 28. Let's go ahead. Verse number 25 to 28. I'm giving you a list of evil that happened in Joseph's life. Evil things. Verse number 25 to 28. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. So what does it? He was sold as a slave. In other words, in modern language, I would say He was a victim of human trafficking. He was a victim of human trafficking. Do you see the evil that happened in Joseph's life? If he dwelled on the evil and said, oh, you know what, God has done this with me, people have done, he would have been in the same darkness, but he let things go because he knew it was God. Let me just summarize till the time, summarize till the place we have come, till the list we have been completed here. So I told you that he was hated by his own brothers, loneliness and rejection in his own family, misunderstood and not supported by his own father. Brothers conspired to kill him, physically and mentally abused, a victim of human trafficking. See the evil happening in his life. Yes. Genesis 39:7-20. Let's go there. Genesis 39:7-20. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. So it was kind of a force, like a sexual molestation. He was a victim of sexual molestation. Joseph was a victim of sexual molestation. So this woman grabbed hold of him, lie with me, but he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with the words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison and placed a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. So Joseph was sexually molested, and he was falsely accused of attempt to rape. Oh my God, see such evil that is happening with Joseph. He was sexually molested. He was a victim of human trafficking. He was a victim of physical and mental abuse. Oh God, if this happened with someone in America, that person would have become so bitter. Oh, I am like this because my background was like that. But Joseph did not blame it on anyone. Neither he blamed it on God, but he silently obeyed God. People of God, do we see what it means to walk as Jesus walked? To go through things and to still trust God? To go through physical, mental abuse, sexual molestation, false accusation of rape, attempt to rape, to be a victim of human trafficking? I'm showing you the reality of what Joseph went through. Okay, the next one. Genesis chapter number 40. Genesis chapter number 40, verse number 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This chief butler was helped by Joseph. You help people and you save their lives, but people don't give back anything to you, what they even promised and committed to you. That is what he was, betrayed by people. You see the list of evil? But Joseph said in Genesis 50 verse 20. What he said? What he said? Genesis 50 verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Hallelujah! All this list of evil, what happened? God turned it for the good of Joseph, and God elevated him. No matter what happens to you, beloved, God has given you the grace and his word, and he is with you. Even if you go, I'm talking to people, even as if you have went through physical, mental abuse, human trafficking, sexual abuse, sexual molestation, false accusation, false court cases, don't worry. Trust the Lord. He will turn it out for your good in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can people shout amen? Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. A list of evil in Job's life. A list of evil in Job's life. I'm just giving you the scripture, and then you can refer it afterwards. Job chapter number 1, verse number 14 to 17. Stealing and destruction of possessions and of business. Job's cattle were stolen or whatever. His business, his possessions were destroyed. This is the evil that Satan did to Job. Verse 19, death and loss of his family members. Verse 19, death and loss of his family members. You know, the children of Job were killed, the sons and the daughters. Yes, this is the evil that Satan did to Job. Job chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Terrible disease and sickness upon Job. Another evil that happened to Job. The next one, friends persecuting and taunting him. Yes. But Job trusted God. Yes, when everything evil was happening to him. And what did God do? Job chapter number 42, verse number 10. He gave double of what Job lost in the name of Jesus. The devil was proven a radical fool by God. He played a part in Job's promotion and increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Can you develop the appetite and capacity to trust God forever in whatever situation? If you can do that, if you can walk with Jesus, even when nothing is happening, you trust Jesus, you worship Jesus, you bless the name of the Lord, even when nothing is happening. I am telling you, it may not be fast result, but the results would be evident. God will turn out everything. Some of you will be risen to authority like Joseph was. Some of you will increase like Job increased. Hallelujah. God will turn out everything for the good of those who love God, who really love God, and who are called according to his purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is walking as Jesus walked.
Like Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me end. I will continue the teaching, but I wanted to end the teaching, as I told you, with the prophetic word. That what the evil that you meant for me, God turned it for the good. And through it, God saved many people's life. Hallelujah. So we don't understand. We are human beings. Our brain is so small. And our ways are very cheap and downtrodden. Our ways are lower, so much lower. But God's ways are higher, as heavens are high above the earth. So we need to trust God and let go of reasoning and let go of why this is happening, why that is happening, why things are not working. Hallelujah. Continue to worship him. Continue to give unto him the worship, the praise, the prayer, everything that is due unto him. Hallelujah. Even when nothing is going right, walk with Jesus. Walk as Jesus walked. Even when Jesus was on the cross, hallelujah, he was forgiving people. He knew it was the Father's purpose. But for a moment of time, when the sin of the world was upon him, the Father turned away his eyes from Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, Eli, Eli, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because He was so sensitive about the presence of God. He was carrying the presence of God even on the cross. And because of the sin, the presence of the God, presence of God had to leave him, because he was the sacrificial lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. Should we not walk as he has called us to walk? Because we have him as our forerunner. Hallelujah. The purpose of all these things that we are doing is to make us more like Jesus. Let us not forget the primary purpose. It's not to increase the possessions on earth. It's not to become someone. It's not to start a ministry, but simply is to become more like him. That is the purpose. That is the primary purpose. That is the primary purpose. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, through the teaching, Lord, that I have started, and especially through the prophetic word, Father, that you will comfort your people. Lord, especially, and through the Bible says, the cleansing of water by the word, that your word, the prophetic word that is spoken, will cleanse people of a lot of bitterness and burdens and unforgiveness, that they will know that it is God, O Father, who was with them always, even when evil was happening to them, and he will work it out for their good, O Father, so that they will be able to easily let go of the hurts and forgive those people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will become, you are bringing deliverance and freedom in the lives of people, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I just want to thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, continue to, Lord, lead us and guide us, Father. Lord, I cover everyone, Father. Even those who are not here tonight, Lord, cover all of them with the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that they will catch hold of the recordings later, Lord. Lord, and take out time, Lord, and spend more time listening to the teachings, Lord, and spending personal time with you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you once again, Lord. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory, even the coming meeting, the prayer meeting, Father, the Sunday night revival service, Father. I ask you that you will, the Holy Spirit, you will minister to your people in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and Lord, Lord, that you will, Lord, convict them, Lord, that they may know that they have a part to play in your kingdom by praying, Lord, Father, by interceding, by being as watchmen. In the name of Jesus, I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. People of God, can we shout?